You're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. We're so glad you've decided to join us. To discover more about LMC, visit us online at lifeministry.church. We pray that today's message encourages you in your faith journey.
Good morning, church. It's wonderful to be with you all and gathering around God's word together. And I want to agree with Andy. I grew up in this church as well. And in fact, I'm actually going to start by showing you this stage from 2001. Was anyone here in 2001? Yes, a number of people. And this I found this from my family's home videos, and it was one of the things that my family did every now and then, and I have no idea what the context of this was or why we did it, but we would do a skit on this stage, and we would get up here and embarrass ourselves, and I don't know what it was for. Graham might remember what it was for, but I have this video, and this was little Matt at 5 years old. There I am on this very stage. The drum screen is still there. And that's me just doing the trumpet. Yep. And so from the moment I was four or five years old, this church has been embarrassing me on this stage ever since. And I've made a fool of myself many, many times, and I'm sure that I will continue to make a fool of myself. And in this moment, my family, they recognized that I was in this sweet spot as a five-year-old where I had the cute factor. And my sisters in particular are very into musicals and shows, and so they would create these skits. And Caitlin in particular recognized that whatever I did was going to prepare for the rest of the skit and the performance, because whether I stuffed it up, it was cute, but if I nailed it, then it was amazing because I was five and I was in that stage of life. And it wasn't the only time where they took advantage of me in this season of my life. I remember going around to my neighbors' houses, and they would have their netball fundraiser where they would get the chocolates like we do at kids, and I would have to be the first one at the door with the chocolates, and I would knock on the door at 5 years old and do you want a chocolate? And then my sisters would come around from the bushes and swoop in and make a profit, because they can't say no to a five-year-old that's asking you to buy a chocolate for their fundraiser. And in this, I realized that I was being used to prepare the way for what was coming. And in life, although we often get drawn to making things about ourselves, to putting the focus on us, there is a call on our life to something far greater. And I had a word and a title for this morning, and I really believe that this is God's word for us individually today, that we would prepare the way. Prepare the way. You may not have the cute factor anymore, but you have the Jesus factor. You have Jesus in your life. And so we are called to prepare the way. Each of us are called to prepare for Jesus in our lives and through our lives, that we would play our part and do what we can do, that Jesus would be glorified in and through us. And right now, it is a joy, it is a blessing to be a part of the youth team. And I mentioned a few Sunday nights ago about just what we are seeing at the moment within our youth ministry and within youth groups around this state. And not only that, our kids ministry, our young adults, our real women, our men, things are going really well. We're in a really healthy place. God is moving in this space. And it's important to remember that the focus for us and as a youth pastor right now, it is not that our year 12s would get to the end of their time at youth and go, wasn't that a great 6 years? Youth is about preparing the way that they would continue in the ways of God for the rest of their life. It is about that they would move on and go into young adults and start a family in church and continue to grow in the ways of God. It's not that it would end at that season, but it would prepare the way for the rest of their life. And not only that, but most importantly, to prepare the way that they would encounter the love of God and live in relationship with Him. Church, on a Sunday, when we hear these words, when we speak from the platform, our prayer is that you would not hear me this morning, you would not hear who is speaking, but you would hear God. That we would prepare the way for you to hear God's word and His truth. When it comes to leadership and leading our teams, our prayer is that they would not serve us, but they would serve God. That they would see through us to what God is doing. Our job is to prepare the way. And today, although this speaks to leadership and it speaks to our ministries, I want it to speak to us individually, because each of us are called to prepare the way, to control what we can control to prepare the way for God. I believe there is a call right now upon our individual and spiritual life to prepare the way. To prepare the way for relationship with God. To prepare the way for breakthrough in our life. To prepare the way for people around us to encounter Jesus. To prepare the way for Jesus to be lifted high, glorified, and that his glory may be on display. Last week we heard just a snapshot from Pastor Andy about just a glimpse of the glory of God and how incredible it is. And today I'd like for us to follow on from that and picture ourselves watering the soil that we may be ready for God to produce some of his glory manifested in our lives. And so right now, as has already been prayed, we're going to take a moment to just stop and make this our individual prayer as we go into the rest of this message, that we would prepare a way, that our hearts would be turned to God in this moment for him to challenge us and go, what are you preparing for me to move in and through you today? So Father God, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you so much for your truth. We thank you that your word is active. It is alive, and that, Father God, you are wanting to move in our space wherever we are at right now. And so, God, we make ourselves available to you. God, would you speak to us? Right now, we make the decision to prepare our hearts for what it is that you are wanting to do in us, what it is you are wanting to challenge in our lives, what it is you are wanting to do to grow us to be more like your Son, Jesus. And so, God, we just pray as we come around this word that my words would be your words and that you would continue to speak to us as you have already this morning. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. My mind works in a little bit of an orderly way, and so I like to do things chronologically, and that's how we're going to do things this morning. In a journey through the New Testament, through the ministry of Jesus, and we're going to touch three different parts of the ministry of Jesus. And the first one was John the Baptist, who we know was someone who was preparing the way for Jesus. He was positioned after 400 years of silence from God to speak and prepare the people for the coming of Jesus Christ. We're going to start today in Matthew chapter 3, verse 1 to 3, if you want to turn with me or you can look upon the screens. It says, in those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. This is he who was spoken of through the prophet Isaiah, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. His mission statement here reflected that of ours, that we would prepare the way and make straight paths for him. And when he was asked about the Messiah, it says later on in verse 11, I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me comes one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand. And he will clear his threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn and burning up the chaff with an unquenchable fire. I want us to pause for a moment on this picture of the threshing floor. And you guys can chuck that up because I wasn't overly sure about the picture of it. I've heard of the threshing floor plenty of times, but it looks something like this. And it's referred to quite a lot through the scripture. It illustrates a flat piece of land where winnowing occurs. And the winnowing fork was used to separate the chaff from the wheat. The chaff being the husk around the wheat, the part that is generally thrown away. And John the Baptist, he refers to this and he pulls no punches here. Because when it comes to preparing the way for the Lord, we have to actually apply this principle in our life. There are things in our life where Jesus wants us to clear the threshing floor. Where in order to see the fire of God in our life, we need to recognize what wheat we're going to hold on to, but also the chaff which we're going to get rid of. If you didn't know, or you haven't seen, Holly and I are expecting a baby girl in July. Very exciting, a new stage of our life, and we're very much in the prepare the way phase of this journey. Our first child, and we've had 5.5 years just us, which has been bliss, and now it's all just going to come crumbling down. Is that right? Not really, I'm sure. But we are ready, and not under any false impression that this is going to be difficult, but the responsibilities of a child are starting to hit home. We know that it's going to change everything. Holly is a ready-made mum. She's been looking after me for 5 years, so she's ready to go. And she'll be on fire from the get-go. Whereas I've got some work to do. Apparently the baby can already hear my yelling at Carlton games and at the football, so I have to begin to carry myself a bit better there as well. I've got some work to do. And that one of the first things that we do to prepare the way, and you may have heard of nesting. I think I started nesting a bit before you did, but now you've hit that phase of preparing the house and getting things in order. And we don't live in a big house, or we didn't have the big car. We had what was necessarily for the two of us. And so we had to clear out all the things that I'd been hoarding for a long time, all my clothes in the spare room, and we start to just chuck it all out. And you know, there's bits and pieces that you may struggle to say goodbye to. The old car that I had for a long time, for 9 years, we need a bigger car, so you get a bigger car. And there's a period here in the preparation phase where you need to make space and you need to make room for what is coming. And this can be compared to the moment of our salvation, where Jesus comes into our life, this precious thing enters our life. When Jesus comes into our lives, he's not just seen as an addition or an insurance policy. He is all-consuming. Preparing the way for Jesus takes making room. So my first point this morning is prepare the way. We need to make room. We need to make room. It's something that as followers of God in 2024, we struggle with all the time, to make room. I want to hang on to these clothes. I want to hang on to that Carlton memorabilia. I want that space in my life. Yet to put on new clothes, we know that we have to take old ones off. To receive the incredible blessings that God has for our life, we have to be assertive in making room for him to do so. There is not space on the threshing floor of a life with Christ to live and dwell with the chaff. So what does it look like to make room in our life? Well, first we need to separate from the ties that keep us from God. We cannot expect the Holy Spirit, the fire of God, to fall if we are sitting in the chaff. If we are remaining in the places that we're not meant to be in. If we're remaining with the people who we're not meant to be around. 2 Corinthians 6 verse 14 says, "Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what partnership has righteousness and with lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness?" And we often use that scripture, a really important one for our relationships, which is so pivotal that we are not unequally yoked. But it's not even just with our relationships. It's with things in our life that can so easily we can be yoked to. That struggle or that idol in our life, the thing that is just keeping us from God, that is being unequally yoked as well. So we have to ensure that we are not keeping with the things that tie us or keep us from God. Secondly, we need to get ourselves out of the way. John the Baptist knew, even in this moment for him, that in order here for there to be room in people's hearts and minds for Jesus, the real Messiah, he had to get out of the way. That comes back to our ego and our pride, that we would get out of the way. We need to make room for Jesus. And finally, if I could get my youth leader helpers out the front here, I'm going to give a bit of an illustration. We need to give God space in our lives. And now, I gave these guys a little bit of a word up 2 minutes before, but this is going to be funny, hopefully. Or it could injure someone. So I've chosen some youth leaders because they're my insurance policy. And what's going to happen here, we've got some strapping young men. And Nathan, can I get those sheets as well, Hol? Nathan's going to be our representative today of God. And so we'll give this to you later for the next part of the illustration. And what we do in our life is we start to build upon the strong foundation of God. And the word says, the scripture says, to build upon the foundation. So, Nath, come on down here. You're going to lie on the ground. Did anyone as a kid play Stacks On? Yes. Now, I realized the other day, I haven't played Stacks On in years. And I see a few of our youth up the back with their hands up, Johnny and Judah. There's a reason you guys are not in this illustration, because it would go terribly wrong. But, Nath, you can lie flat on the ground. And we start to build on the strong foundation. You can get on your front. Is that how you want it? You want people on your front or your back? I think you should go over there. Yeah. Go over there. It's a wise idea. And then Harley comes along. So Nate representing God. We build upon the foundation of God. And he's going to stack on, he's going to stack on next. So very symmetrical. He's representing sport. And then Stephen, you can choose to line up exactly how they're lining up. Or you can go sacks. Yeah, that's a great idea. Great idea. Where was I? Sport. And then ministry. And then we stack on top of the foundation of God. We come along and here are our children. And we go on top. Of course. And then next on top, we have the next element of our life. Our hobbies come on. And then we've got that TV show to go. How you going, Nath? And I'll get you there for one more moment. Are you still breathing? Yeah. All right, you guys can get off. And we look we look at things in our life and we've built upon the strong foundation of God in our life. And then we're looking upon and pretend they're still there. You right, Nath? Yeah, good job. You can take up an incident report and send it through to Andy. He'll take care of it if anything's wrong. And we build and it becomes this stack on our life and we actually struggle to see where God fits in our life. And we see everything that's stacked. And yes, it might be stacked up in accordance with God's word. And in that way, we often see a straight stack. But we actually can't see where God is sitting in our life. And so I want to change this slightly and we'll use the signs. We've got God here. And Nath, you can come over to this side. And he's still going to be our foundation. We're still going to build upon God. But I have Hannah here, who is Jesus. And Imogen's going to be the Holy Spirit. And all of a sudden, we start to bring things into alignment again. And you guys can stand there. And this strength, the foundation, you can come forward a little bit. And then we go and we put in place the things in our life. So our work and our study and our sport and our family and our hobbies. And all of a sudden, the things are in alignment still, but Jesus is brought into the picture. And everything that we do when we surround ourselves with Jesus is through the perspective of Jesus. So it's in alignment with God's word, with the perspective of Jesus, and we can see him in it. Now, we know God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit make up the Trinity. And at this point, there is so much maybe in your life, and you can add a few things within that space. And I had this picture of the pool noodles. Now, Jesus, you can hold on to that in one hand. Imogen, you can hold on to that. You can come out the front so people can see you, Imogen. Now, Imogen being the Holy Spirit, which we are called to use in our life as well. The Holy Spirit, it takes space to be able to breathe on what we are doing. So we have God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit comes here. And when we fill our life with so much stuff, Nath, you can grab the other pool noodle. We actually see if we are to connect everything within, and he's going to hold on to that. And then she's going to try and hold on to Han's one with Jesus at the center. But then there's this gap in the middle where we can't quite see, and things start to get through the gap. And so, yes, maybe our ministry will point to the things of God, but the other things, maybe we don't have time to allow the Holy Spirit to step in. And so what happens is we start to lose what God wants to do within the spaces of our life because we're filling it up with too much. And so if you think about the things in your life, that sometimes they're good things, but there's too much going on to see the Trinity at work. So we need to take a couple of things out. We take a few things out and then Jesus comes back, still in perspective, still in alignment with God's word, and yet we are able to connect God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit to everything that we do in our life. And we might have a bunch of things that we have going on which are good things, but in order to see the Holy Spirit breathe on what we are doing, there has to be space around them to be able to allow things to be what God is wanting to do in that space through us. And so when it comes to your work, or when it comes to your family life, or when it comes to the priorities which God puts in our life, we are called to actually allow the Holy Spirit to breathe on these things, to give space around it, to see what he wants to do, to prepare the way for what God would do in your life. Thank you, guys. You can grab a seat. Give them a hand as they go down. Thanks, Dan. And I don't know if that picture is for one person or for a few people, but I really had that strong sense that Perhaps there are things in our life where we need to take out in order to allow things not to get through the cracks, in order to allow God's hand to be upon what we are doing. And so we have to make room for Jesus. Psalm 27, verse 13 to 14 says, I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. And again it says, wait for the Lord. Are we willing to wait for the Lord? Are we willing to give him space? Or are we filling our life up with so many things? And as Holly and I prepare the way for our child, we need to remove some things in our life. And so we take out the things that we need to take out, but we also need to invest into relationship. And the greatest thing that we can do in preparing for a child is actually to invest in relationship with each other. The greatest thing that you can do as a husband and a wife, as a parent, is to actually invest into your relationship. And often, and particularly as males, as guys, we want to be the provider. And so that love language is, I'm going to strive and do as much as I can to provide for those things that I love the most or are so precious to me in my life. And we can hold that same mentality to God, where we go, God, I'm going to do this. I'm going to serve you in this way. I'm going to be able to put everything in place for and provide the opportunity for you to move. And yet God has already provided, and he's asking you to be in relationship with him. We need to prioritize our relationship with God. Later in John the Baptist's life, he finds himself in prison. It says in Matthew chapter 11, verse 2 and 3, now when John heard in prison about the deeds of the Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another? And what stood out to me about this was that John the Baptist was an incredible prophet, that he was human, and he had such conviction in preparing the way for God. But even he finds himself questioning, is Jesus really the Messiah? Because you see, there's a difference in what it says in that text, hearing the deeds of Christ, that he heard the deeds of Christ, and being with Christ, experiencing it. We start to doubt God, we start to doubt his ways when we are not in relationship with him. We need to make room. We need to make room in our life that we would be in relationship with Jesus, that we would understand what God is doing. We don't always understand, but we know his presence when we are in relationship with him. When I think about prepare the way in scripture, my mind goes to John the Baptist and then later on down the track, Palm Sunday. Prepare the way. What an incredible, incredible picture that we get in Palm Sunday of the most significant week of all time. And you know, we might picture it in today's age, the King of Kings arriving a bit like Aladdin, where Prince Ali's coming on that and he comes on the elephant. But we know that that's not what Jesus did. Jesus came on a donkey. He came to symbolize peace and humility. And also that Jesus is willing to use the lowly to accomplish his purpose. So I'm going to read from Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 to 10. It says this, now when they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethphage, to the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples. He said to them, go into the village in front of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord needs them, and he will send them at once. This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, saying, say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden. Then disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put on them their cloaks, and he sat on them. Most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds that went before him and followed him were shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up, saying, who is this? And the crowd said, this is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth of Galilee. I love the symbolism of that word Hosanna and the palm branches. Hosanna meaning save now, the palm branches representing victory, which speaks prophetically into Christ's victory over death and that he is indeed king. And there were three things that stood out to me in this passage as I was reading through, and there's a lot of things you can get out of this passage, but three things I want to highlight. The first one comes from verse 2. It says, Jesus says, go into the village in front of you. We have to recognize in our life what is in front of us. The difference is not in our ability to find something special, but in God's ability to make something special out of something ordinary. I want to say that again. The difference is not in our ability to find something special, but in God's ability to make something special out of something ordinary. You are positioned in your life to make a difference. You are positioned right now, and sometimes we can put off what God does in our life because we think we need to look for something special. We need to find that special opportunity, or when everything is sorted in our life, that's when God can move. He says, go into the village in front of you. What is in front of you? Because God can make it special. In verse 7, it says, they brought the donkey and colt and put on them their cloaks. And this aligns with so many scriptures like Isaiah 61:10, which says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall exult in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation, covered me with robes of righteousness. You have been marked by Jesus with cloaks of righteousness. And we are called to do the same to those that we are going out. To prepare the way means to let people know that they can be, through Jesus Christ, clothed in righteousness. Yes, we might be a donkey, but we are more through Jesus Christ. And then finally in verse 10, it says, the whole city was stirred up. There was a stirring going on. Something was about to happen. And as followers of God, we can create an expectation that something is about to happen. It is powerful. God is active. He is moving. You know, part of what we're seeing in our ministries at the moment, there's this expectation because God is here. And it's so powerful when we can create that around people. What happens on church is we come in and we see God move. We expect him to move because he does. And it's powerful. And with these in mind, these things in mind, there is a clear directive by God to have joyful expectation. The people lining the streets, they had no idea what was about to take place. There was hope. There was somewhat of an expectation. And if I was to put myself in that scenario, in that situation, I would sense, I think, hopeful expectation. Hopefully he is the one. Hopefully we are preparing the way for the right one. And we have the benefit now of looking back and knowing that, yes, he was the one, he is the one. And so when they might have seen and experienced hopeful expectation that it might be Israel's savior for that season, it might be Israel's savior for that time, we know that it was the world's savior. It was our eternal freedom, not just for a season, but for all time. And so instead of having hopeful expectation, which is nice, it's good, we're also called to have joyful expectation because of what has occurred, because the victory that we know is in Jesus Christ. When we prepare the way for Jesus, we don't just expect from a place of hope. We expect from a place of victory. So my second point is to prepare the way. We prepare with joyful expectation. Ephesians 1 verse 3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him where the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. What a powerful verse. And just like the people preparing the way for Jesus on Palm Sunday, we as humanity and us even as followers of God, I put myself in this, we can undervalue spiritual blessings because we overvalue material blessings. We can so often focus on the material things in our life. And God calls us to bring to him these physical needs in our life. He cares about the materials that matters to us, yet we seek first the kingdom of God. We are filled with joy even though we may not have the fulfillment of every material desire, because we have every spiritual blessing in eternity. And I don't know what brings you joy in your life. For me, I know that my day can be made in just an ordinary work day by a coffee. I love coffee. Anyone else? Their day can be made by a coffee. It's the little things in life. I enjoy them. Maybe for you, if you're going through your regular work day and someone brings in a special food or a donut, then that might just lift and bring you joy in that day. If you're a fan of The Office, then it's pretzel day for those guys. It brings you up. It gives you joy in that time, in that season. And here in the office, Mondays are a quieter day, aren't they? We have four people in the office. And Andy started this thing, this tradition, a little while back, getting a few coffees if he went out. And then the rest of us followed suit. But it first started with when he brought back the coffees. Oh, wow, can I give you some money for that? That's so kind of you. And now there's kind of this rotation system. And granted, some rotate more than others in this rotation. And it's gone out on for now for long enough that there's this joyful expectation in Mondays if someone goes out of the office. If someone goes out, then we have this expectation that something is coming back. And I want to preface this to say to my boss that I've made some categories, and he's category one. He buys the most coffees. He's the most generous, and he does it the most frequently. Then there's category two, and that's Steph and Sky, who get the next level. And then I'm probably category four. I do not really pull my weight, and I need to be better, but that's just the way things happen. I just must be working too hard on Mondays. That's what it must be. But there was this one day where Andy happened to go out on a Monday, and I never told him this, and he didn't realise. He came back from a meeting, and he didn't bring any coffees. Yeah, I know. And I was devastated. I was devastated in that moment. There's this book called Toxic Charity by Robert Lupton. Anyone read that book? I haven't, so I can't recommend it. But I heard in this book, and I liked it. It explains, you get a gift once, and it's appreciation. It leads to appreciation. You get a gift twice, it leads to anticipation. You get a gift three times, it leads to expectation. Then after a while, it leads to entitlement. And the truth is, I was never entitled to a coffee. This was a gift. It was a gift that I didn't deserve. And yet somewhere down the line, it had gone from anticipation and expectation to the next stage of entitlement. And when it comes to the blessings of God, it's important to have appreciation, a joy of our salvation, to have anticipation that it's a great thing, even expectation that God can move. But it becomes dangerous when we start to gain a sense of entitlement. We hold a joyful expectation because Jesus Christ has won our victory. He has prepared a way for us to step into relationship with our Heavenly Father. His power is breaking chains and moving all around us. Yet God doesn't call us to make the way. He calls us to prepare the way. Meaning that we don't have to come up with the solution in our own strength. We are not entitled by our own understanding and our own power. This is simply about creating an opportunity in our life and spaces for God to come through in His strength, by His power, by His timing and His spirit. What we see on this earth and receive is not an entitlement. It's got nothing to do with us and everything to do with the one that we worship. What a joy it is to be able to have faith and expect that our God can make a way as we prepare for Him to move. It is possible for us to receive eternal victory, but not see a victory in our earthly situation and circumstance because we have become complacent in our faith. It is possible for us to know that we have been saved, but neglect to claim it in how we live, in how we pray, in how we seek God. And I don't know what you may have come to church with today, But I know that we all have needs, desires, and for many there are areas of our life where we might be praying for breakthrough. Maybe there is a need of healing in your life or a relationship. Maybe it's financial, maybe it's spiritual. I want us to read this with hope and joy. Ephesians 1 verse 11, in him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. In some translations it says, brings into conformity to his will. And so as we wait with expectation that God can move in our situation, as we lift up our prayers with faith, let us do so with a perspective that aligns with God, that we have obtained our inheritance, number one. The spiritual blessings in our life, they remain the same no matter what we see in a physical sense. We know that there is a broken world. Ever since Adam and Eve, we know we live in a time that is broken from the fall of man. And yet from the beginning of time, God has still been conforming creation, the trajectory of our world, to his will. And there may be circumstances in your life where you need breakthrough that you've been praying into, that you want to see God move through. We have joyful expectation in the difficulties that we face when, number one, we hold things in the perspective that God's ways are higher than our own. Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God. Number two, we take claim the authority that Christ has given us. He's given us the authority to trample on snakes and scorpions, Luke 10:19. And we maintain joy, joy in the fact that we have assurance in our spiritual blessings. We have a joyful expectation. I calculated that up till this year where I've stopped playing, I played about 35,000 minutes of football in my life through junior, and that's competitive football. And of that, I reckon I enjoyed fully about 200 to 300 of those minutes, because they were the minutes where it was the last bit of the last quarter and we knew we'd won, because I'm a very competitive person, and I could enjoy that little part of the game, the little glimpse of the game, and the rest of it was a mission. I was just thinking about what could happen or what could go wrong or how could we lose this game. And you know, we can often have that in our own life. We think more about what could go wrong as opposed to where we are heading in our spiritual life. The joy that we're called to maintain in our life. Joyful expectation. We can expect God to move, but even when he doesn't, we can find hope in the fact that he is still conforming things to his will, which ends up in a victory. We hold on to the victory in Jesus Christ. Our lives are like Plato, that picture of Plato, where when we offer it to God, he conforms it to his will. He shapes it to his will. And this is where the joy of our expectation is found. And I wonder if the band could just come up. I'm going to be really quick on this last point. We're going to sing No Other Name. Number one, we make room when we prepare the way. Number two, we hold on to a joyful expectation. And then number three, we're ready for something new. Be ready for something new. The final stage of our progression through following Jesus in this morning is Acts chapter 1, right before his ascension to heaven, after he has resurrected and defeated death. In verse 6 and 8, it says, so when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive the power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Jesus made a way for the Holy Spirit that we would make a way for Jesus through the Holy Spirit. And just as he encouraged the disciples in something new outside of just Israel in this moment, so he encourages us. As the disciples were in the room on the day of Pentecost, there was no Wi-Fi, there was no TV, there was no social media, there was no TikTok or Twitter to get the word out. They were simply sitting in this room, just some normal followers of God who prepared a space for God to move. They didn't know how God would do it, but they sure wanted to see breakthrough. They sure had expectation, and they were willing to see something new, willing to be used by the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit falls upon them. They speak in tongues, and these tongues even reach people in other languages. And before too long, the gospel is taken from a small room in Jerusalem to Antioch, where believers are first called Christians, to Ephesus, the center of trade, to Corinth at this time. They may not have had a picture, the disciples, that this was how it would turn out, but they were willing for the Holy Spirit to do something new in and through them. And right now, we're going to just take an opportunity to sing. And these words are so powerful that there is no other name. The earth will shake and tremble before him. Chains will break as heaven and earth sing. Holy is the name. Holy is the name of Jesus. And right now, you might be facing something in your life, or you might be coming into church with certain things where you are facing and you need breakthrough in your life. And we might not know how it's going to work out, but God is calling us to prepare the way that he would be able to move into it. When it comes to seeing lives transformed in the people around us, to prepare the way for him to speak. It's the same gospel, but there might be a new method that God is calling you to use. It's the same gospel, there might be some new convictions. Same gospel, but new opportunities. Our world needs Jesus. The people around us need Jesus. We need Jesus. It is our job. It is up to us to prepare the way. Prepare the way for God. He is moving. He calls us to make room, to have joyful expectation in what we see, and to be prepared to step out of our comfort zone into something new, because God is wanting to do incredible things. He's not done. He's not finished with you. He's not finished in this world. He is continuing to move. I just wonder if we could take a moment in prayer. I really sense the Holy Spirit for some people here who perhaps have closed a door in their own life to think that God is done with you or with a particular area of your life or a particular opportunity that may have arisen that didn't eventuate. God is still calling you to prepare the way. There is more. There is more. Father God, we thank you so much that you are a loving God. We thank you so much that you prepared the way for us to be in relationship with you. Jesus, you chose us. And so right now, we choose to prepare the way for you in all aspects of our life. God, that there wouldn't be just part of our life which we give to you, but God, you would consume every aspect. If we need to take something out to see more of you, we want to do that, Lord. God, if we need to hold on to the joy that you have before us in every spiritual blessing, God, if we want to hold on to the expectation that you can move, even despite perhaps what we've seen not happen, God, you are still God. You are still good. You are still moving, and you still call us to continue with faith, knowing that you are God and you will conform things to your will. And finally, God, we are willing to step into what is new, what is before us, what your Holy Spirit is wanting to do through us. For God, it's not about finding something special or even being something special. But God, you turn the ordinary into something special. You turn us into something special. You want to use us, and we are so grateful for that. So God, above all else, we worship you. We say there is no other name, and God, we choose to focus on you this moment. Focus on you for the rest of our life, that God, you would be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
A cherished memory is like a sweet medicinal balm that comforts and can heal our soul. From before the beginning, God had a purpose for salvation. All things work and are for his glory. In a mysterious way, everything, everywhere, throughout all history past, the present age, and the future to come, must and will demonstrate every aspect of who he is for his glory. In his letter to the church at Colossae, Paul writes, "For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions, rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him." Knowing the divine drama of human brokenness that was to unfold, God chose for himself to demonstrate for all creation an indispensable essence of his character, not yet fully revealed. Our fallen state has given him the perfect opportunity to demonstrate something about himself that could never be seen in a perfect heaven. It is unlikely that no created heavenly being had, until the appointed time, ever seen the full extent of God's love. A billion times over, somewhere someone has said these words, "God is love." We hear it so often, it has become a one-sided slogan. Indeed, the full truth of God's essence of love is that he's a God of both infinite mercy, infinite grace, and infinite justice. In some way, justice, grace, and mercy are two sides of the same coin. Either justice is served, or grace and mercy is granted. On the justice side of the coin, above a picture of a gavel reads, "Deserved punishment paid in full." On the grace and mercy side of the coin, above a picture of blood-stained hands stretched out is written, "Deserved punishment waived in full," and the words, "Full and undeserved blessing offered." By his own nature, God cannot cease to be either merciful or just. His justice requires that sin committed against his infinite majesty be punished with eternal separation from him. We hear that warning in the garden. "On the day that you eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you shall surely die." The gift of life given in our blood, now stained with sin, must be judged and punishment carried out. Justice must be served if God is holy. We all then are doomed, destined for destruction, hopeless forever, wretched and pitiful, sad and without any hope, all of us without fail. Yet God, let me repeat, yet God, in his unfathomable love, demonstrated full mercy and grace towards us. Outside of the indescribable holiness and sacred communion of our triune God, salvation is a story of God's love demonstrated in its fullest. Jesus Christ, the Son of God made manifest in flesh, taught us that no greater love has anyone than he that lays down his life for a friend. Never before has love been so amazing, so vulnerable, so overwhelming, so deliberate, the price so costly, that when the Creator of all things humbled himself in human flesh to give himself as a sacrifice for our sins so that we may live. Divine love is not a feeling, but physical action. True justice is not a slogan, but physical action. It makes sense then, if everything was created for his glory, then both the full and complete display of love and justice must be part of his grand design. We pause then, keeping the memory alive of the time when God came down to dwell amongst men. Falling prostrate before a holy and just God, with humble and grateful hearts, we reflect that he took upon himself the death sentence we earned as justice was fulfilled. The sentence paid in full. Life in his body, his blood, bearing all our sins, sentenced to death. And in an indescribable show of unconditional holy love, God has showered on us undeserved and unmerited Amazing grace. How sweet that sounds to save a wretch like me. Throughout all ages since, we remember his body broken, his blood shed, knowing it was our punishment he bore. It is finished. No longer are our lives ever the same. So as we partake in communion, we are encouraged to reflect with humility, gratitude, and thankfulness for the life of Jesus Christ, our God and our Savior, given so freely in an act of wonderful sacrificial love for us. And so we worship the one who so freely took our punishment and bestowed on us incalculable mercy and grace. And so I encourage you now to take communion in your own time. And as you do so, I will read the beautiful words penned by Isaac Watts more than 300 years ago as a prayer of remembrance, gratitude, and overwhelming thankfulness. When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss and pour contempt on all my pride. Forbid it, Lord, that I should boast save in the death of Christ my God. All the vain things that charm me most, I sacrifice them through his blood. See, from his head, his hands, his feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down. Did e'er such love and sorrow meet, or thorns compose so rich a crown? Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were a present far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. To God be all the glory, the great things he has done. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed this week's message. If you'd like to hear more inspiring messages from Life Ministry Church, or you would like to know more about us, including service times, events, or what following Jesus is all about, be sure to visit us online at lifeministry.church. Thanks again for listening.